Jesus is what I become. It's what we become. He is supposed to be who we are, in essence, as he lives in us and through us. God, I just give you honor and glory and praise today. All that is holy. Later, I want to go back to that where, Brian, if it's possible, where you come in with that verse. Just maybe the altar, but in a little bit. I told Philip this morning earlier, I said, I feel like God, I'm not a 5 a.m. kind of person. You may be, that's good. I don't sleep in. That doesn't happen after you have kids, but I'm not a 5 o'clock person. It's usually a little later than that. But about 5 o'clock yesterday morning, I feel like God woke me and dealt with me about a shift and a change. And I think I wrestled with him all day long. Left here late yesterday evening and I just had a difficult time. Like, God, I want to make sure. And I'll just say this morning, I've had peace and I feel like I've had confirmation from the Lord. And so I want to take you to this place in Scripture, a very familiar passage that might not seem applicable to today or back to school or anything, but I believe it will tie together and hopefully it will make the sense that God wants it to make. Go with me to John chapter 6 just for a moment. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. It was the town of Mary and her stubborn sister, Martha. When we pray, I think we pray like that sometimes. We just add adjectives over people. That's, yeah. So when he heard that he was sick, Lazarus, his friend, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Verses 1, 6, 16, and then I think it's 43. Then Thomas, who is called, one version says Didymus, the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go." I think we've preached this scripture in error for many, many years. "Let us also go that we may die with him." It's over, it's hopeless. We might as well give up. Let's just go. If he dies, we die. And now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. And he said, "Lazarus, by name, come forth." Lazarus, who is dead for 4 days, come forth. Come forth. God, add your anointing to your word. Equip us today. Help us to hear your word and speak to our hearts. Prepare our students, our teachers, for a new adventure this year as they walk the halls of their respective schools and educational institutions. I pray, God, today that you would order every step for Brian and Tanya and Amaya and their entire family as you launch them into this new era of ministry. May they find support and help and undergirding. May others love them. And as they are passionate about God, they too will be passionate and move forward in every gift that you've ordered for their life and their lives. And I want us together in Jesus' name. And amen. Turn to someone around you. Love them. Just encourage them to prepare their hearts for the word. Please listen closely to the words that I use to describe this individual and his heart for God. Democratic Congressman Tony Hall served the U.S. House of Representatives for more than 20 years. For some time, he led a bipartisan, multiracial prayer meeting in Washington, D.C. And as he prayed and he mixed among the races and among those who felt differently, even politically in some aspects, God began to burden his heart to feed the hungry in the world. During a famine 30 years ago in Ethiopia, his congressional delegation went to a small medical outpost that was run by two nuns. In that instant, appearing on the horizon were thousands of refugees. Like skeletons, they had walked hundreds of miles for food. Food that those nuns did not have. This was not a loaves and fish moment. This is not a coin in the fish's mouth moment. This is not a prodigal son comes home moment. When they discovered that there was no food, many of them lay down in the streets, in the dust, and waited to die. 24 children died in 15 minutes. For Tony Hall, it left an open wound. Not only that, Congress then cut all funding for the Select Committee on Hunger. Tony Hall was ready to quit Congress and government altogether. And then Tony's wife asked him a very important question. She said, "Have you ever thought about fasting?" And it was then that they read together Isaiah 58. "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread, your hope, your sustenance with the hungry?" The very next day, Tony Hall stood before the media and dozens of microphones, and he announced a fast for world hunger. He was just a little embarrassed. He feared looking like a fool, that this had no precedent. It had never been done before. But his resolve strengthened as his body weakened, and it was like carbon steel. All of a sudden, that 10,000, listen to me, not students, not kindergartners, not a person here, but 10,000 high schools in the United States of America decided to join Congressman Tony Hall in this fast to end world hunger. And it was on day 22 that breakthrough took place. The World Bank had been paying attention. I want you to be reminded today, young people, that someone is paying attention to you, that someone is watching you. Culture of the Living God, men, women, husbands, wives, others are watching you. They are paying attention. Your life matters. Your voice matters. Your testimony matters. What we do collectively as the body of Christ, it matters to our community. After that conference on world hunger, more than $100 million was pledged to end hunger. But the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, Muhammad Yunus, would then contact Tony Hall, and he let him know that over $500 million had now come in for the cause to end this world hunger. I want you to know this morning that this is your time, that nothing is insignificant. You can make a difference. You may not have the coinage in your pocket. You may not have the intellect that you think you need, but our God is an awesome God, and he's paying attention like nobody else is paying attention. And if you will hear his voice and be obedient to his call, God can shake your school and your community with the power and the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I charge you today that this is your year to multiply, that you can make a difference. I charge you today that God is with you. Don't be afraid of who you are in Jesus Christ. This year, in this very moment, God is moving even when it seems like no one else hears you and there is no movement, and he's moving you to do something big because he's a big God. And if you believe he's a big God today, would you celebrate him with me even right now in this moment? We serve an unfailing God. And if we are not careful, we will allow the stronghold of death itself the death of a marriage, the death of a child, the death of a job opportunity, the death even of a church fellowship, the death of a song, the death of an individual. And the spirit of Martha comes on us when we deal with our Lazarus. When it's out, hear me, not just the time of blessing, but when it's time for our transition, we respond like Martha more than we do Mary. And it's very difficult to understand moving forward. Completely overcomes us. A scenario like 24 children in 15 minutes, and we never bounce back from that moment. Our committees are canceled, which means our avenues are blocked. And it seems like we are ready to quit because the board doesn't agree with us, or this teacher or that student doesn't agree with me. Their cause is not my cause. And it feels like we are blocked and we are ready to quit. And even if we attempt to do something bold, we may lose our job, we may lose our church, or the favor of the people. Someone may even think us a fool. Can I submit to you this morning that sometimes God, hear me, right here, listen, God will not even begin to work until our committees are canceled. Sometimes God will not even begin to work until we feel like we have exhausted all earthly means. Sometimes God will not even begin to work until you stop talking like Martha and acting like Martha and looking sour like Martha. God said, when you give it up and you fully give it up, I'll be the God that provides and Jehovah Jireh that will never fail. Lift your hands in this holy house and bless his name today. Every option is blocked. It feels like your dreams are left to die. Your Lazarus has passed. But I want to tell you today, and some of you just need to kind of hike up your pants and square your shoulders and listen to the voice of God. Your culture will change whether you change or not. Your God may not change, but your culture will change. And sometimes our culture is changing even when it feels like it is not. But God knows you by name, and he knows that you are destined for impact. And when everyone else, it seems like, has closed the door, God stands with arms wide open and he says, I'm ready for your today and I'm ready for your tomorrow. I'm equipped for every challenge you're about to face, but I am God and I will not fail you, and I will open. The word is provision. This morning, if you will trust him. We find out that with Lazarus by name, that not even death can cancel the authority and the power of God in his son Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it was Paul that learned all too well that neither death nor life nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor principalities or powers or height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. It was Romans 5 and 8 that said God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There are some things that are dying. There are some things that need to go. There are some things that need to make their exit in your life, in the church, in your family, in your marriage. But God is faithful and he loved. He died for that's culture change. No longer are we sacrificing the blood of an innocent animal, but God himself comes to us in his son Jesus Christ and he dies for us. There is no pride Amen. There is no arrogance. There is no competitiveness in Christ. All he had to do was call his Father, and he could have sent 10,000 angels. But when Jesus came, Josh, he came to die and to be raised again. That's culture change. That's culture shock. I serve a God this morning that is still the God of culture shock and culture change. He holds it all in his hand. And he's faithful, if you will. Yeah. Trust him. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with God. When we were dead in sin, the word of God said God was still working. You may seem hopeless this morning. It may seem like there's no answer and there's no future in sight, but our God is faithful. And I tell you today that he is the God of culture change. What about Isaiah 43:1? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. He will call Lazarus by name. His is not the only name that's important in this scripture. Listen to me, Isaiah 49. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. Jesus will call Lazarus. This may be the year, Micah, that he calls your name. Millicent, that he calls your name. Deacon, you bless my heart. Every Sunday you walk through the door. This may be the moment that he's calling you by name even now to do the incredible, the beyond kind of things that only you can do with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ active and alive in you. The strength of death is a distraction, but it's being canceled. In the last 12 months, Satan has tried to block someone in this room at every turn, every path you try to take. The enemy has been there, but he's been canceled. Debt tried to rob you blind this year, but God said, you tell them that even as I cancel the spirit of death and sickness, I am the God of your finance, and I will not fail you, and I will provide when it seems like there is no open door for provision. Amen. Jealousy tried to deprive you. It's being canceled. Fear tried to control you. Anxiety tried to manipulate you. But God said, in this very room, in this very moment, lift up your hand and receive it. Anxiety will not control you. Anxiety will not demand your next step. Anxiety has not ruled over you. God said, I will provide and I will release it and I will cancel it. Whatever's been eating you alive, whatever ruins your, sometimes things have to die. Whatever ruins your reason for getting up in the morning, whatever's frozen your hope to the future. Right now, just like he did for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, God said to reach up and receive it. It's been canceled, but I'm still God, and I'll order every step in your life. Amen. Would you turn to your neighbor this morning and tell them, Your outcome has already been established. Your outcome, God knows where you are right now, and he's already seen the future and he holds it in his hand. Your outcome has already been established. There will be a right now moment for you, even as there was a right now moment for Lazarus and Mary and Martha. I've been praying for years now. Josh and I messaged back and forth yesterday about how we have breakthrough and how the Spirit of God moves and how that when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, they have been praying and fasting for 10 days. If there's going to be a move of God, there has to be a move of his people. And I came to declare over our students and our teachers and the people that will hear from God today that God has you, and this can be a right now moment before you leave the house. What do you do when God waits? Philip, when you feel like you needed an answer yesterday and it's still 2 days and 3 days and 4 days. We're in verse 6 and Jesus decides to be, hear me, hear the voice, hopefully, of God's servant today. Watch what Jesus does. He decides to be still for 2 days. Now we forget that God has already told us to be still and know that I am God. And so Jesus is still. Mary and Martha are frantic and chaotic, especially Martha. She's bouncing around all over the place, trying to tell Jesus what to do and instruct Jesus as though she knows the mind of the Father better than Jesus does it. I think sometimes we're like that. We want movement and we want action. Bless God, move now, Pastor. Bless God, move now. We want the response that we want, but Jesus is being still. My feelings warrant any kind of response. Just give me a response. Let me know that you know I'm alive, God. My presupposition of how God responds determines my level of faith. So if God moves this way, I'll respond this way. And God said, you respond this way, and then my emotional health is derived from my capacity to accept how he responds. But we forget that Jesus has already said in the same chapter, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the, I love this word, it's my favorite word in Scripture, I think, besides Jesus, glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. This sickness is not unto death. This thing will not kill you. This thing will not drive you under. There's something working in the middle of it all that is for my glory. I'm not just going to get you by. I'm not going to let you just pass over. Or still, you'll go through it, but you'll go through it with the voice and the word of God ingrained in who and what you are that says glory is coming with it. Before Martha May shows up with her attitude, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you just made the right move at the right moment, I believe you enough to believe that if you're here, he would not have died, but I'm not so sure you've got the power to resurrect us out of this thing. And he said, glory's coming before the disciples are consumed. If we go to Bethany again, we'll be stoned. Master, are you going there again? Pastor, would you lead us there? Board, would you? Philip, would you lead us there? Brian? Before the Pharisees conspire to kill him because he has the audacity to raise a dead man back to life. What will we do, they said, for this man does many miracles. And if we let him keep doing miracles, before we know it, they will all follow after him. But Jesus has already said, you can have Martha's attitude, you can have the disciples' doubt, and you can have the Pharisees' sickened religiosity, but he said, this thing is coming, and it is bringing glory with it, and there's nothing you can do to stop the resurrection power and the glory of God from operating in your situation right here and right now. Students, when you walk through the door the first day, you are not some abstract throw-in to everybody else's world in your school. You carry the awesome responsibility that triggers breakthrough in the very society that we live in. Somebody needs to shout right now, because whatever's going on in your life, it still has the capacity for the glory of God to fill it. You choose. You make the choice. You declare with your mouth. You utter from your soul and your heart. You speak it out that God, your glory will fill this situation. Lift your hands and worship him. God, you know who I am better than I know myself, but glory's coming to this situation. Go. This church has been through the fire. This church has weathered storms before. This church has butted up against the gates of hell itself, and we know that they will not prevail. But Jesus said, you tell Lazarus, you tell hell that I am coming. I know when to move, and I know what to say, and I know what to do, and I'm on my way, and glory is coming with me, the glory of the Father. He was full of the glory of God and truth, and the word said that the disciples beheld his glory in John 1:14. I tell you today, look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. The glory of God will fill this house and fill you if you will only call on him. There's not one thing in this church that can withstand the glory of God. Not one thing in your home that can withstand his glory. Not one thing in your child, your marriage, your finance. Jesus makes it known. I'm not afraid of unbelief. I'm not afraid of one Pharisaical voice. I'm not afraid of doubting disciples. But like a rushing mighty wind, I am coming. And I am coming with the glory of all that heaven is and the authority of my Father's throne. One more time, lift your hands and shout out, thank you, God, for the glory of my life. Many times our capacity to control, to manipulate, to see what's ahead becomes our substitute. And can I tell you today, it becomes our obsession. And it is a cheap substitute for the glory that God intends for his church. And you can't make glory happen just because you want glory to happen. Glory comes because Jesus has declared it, and he will fulfill it through his promise. And when God's people yield to him and yield to his authority, and they want to pray more than they want to perform, and they want to pray more than they want to talk, and they want to pray more than they want the chatter, God will reward a church that will submit themselves to the authority and the power and the place of God. Hey, if God can get 10,000 high schools to fast, just think what he can do if he can get 10 of our people in this body to fast and pray and seek the face of God. Our music, I don't care how good it is no substitute. Our preaching, no matter how inspirational it is no substitute. Our talent and our longevity is no substitute. Our obsession to do what we think is best for the church is no substitute. God said, if you will let me move, your outcome has already been established. Amen. And you will live and not die. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And you probably know the Jewish tradition that said the spirit of the man would roam about for 3 days, restless. And so by the fourth day, Jesus knows what they're not paying attention to. By the fourth day, Jesus knows that Lazarus is fully dead. And I want to say a tough word this morning. There are things in our lives that we don't let fully die. We take a break or a vacation. We don't let them surface and speak to as often as they used to. But we don't let them fully die. And Jesus cannot take. Jesus cannot take you into a day four season until some things are fully dead in your life. And we want our day four. We want our season four. We want our next step. We want a move of God. And God said, I can't get you to fully die, but if I can get you to let it die, I'll bring you into the next season of blessing. Some things have to die. Some things have to be over, and it's okay. This is what you need, though, today, especially. Listen. How many of you know what's going on always has to do more with more than what we really think is going on? There's more going on here than Lazarus being called by name. Adam, it's more than just bringing a Lazarus back. Can you see? Verse 16. Seemingly out of nowhere, Thomas is mentioned. And he is specifically called Didymus, the twin. It's right here. I never realized that what seems to be the abstract, that right in the middle of it all, this verse is about Thomas's name. It's about what he is called. I can't make this up. Listen, it was customary for Jews to take a Latin or a Greek name into the culture they were encountering. Not last year. Not school year 2015. Not 30 years ago. But to take their name into the culture they are encountering. And so he will call Lazarus by name. But this is about God being personal with you. And listen to what Thomas says. He says, let us also go that we may die with him. This is not only about what Thomas is doing or not doing. It is about who he is becoming. And maybe you've been past it for years or you never even went there. But I've heard this preached for years that old Thomas, there's doubting Thomas. He's just, there he is again, just showing up in the negative. We might as well follow Jesus because we're just going to die. It's all over with. There's no hope. That's not what's happening here. When I did a little research, I found out that this is what's taking place. The gospel writer wants us to know that Thomas is taking his name and yielding his name to the name that is above every name, and he is taking his name into the culture, a name that says, regardless of what I want, wherever Jesus goes, that's where I'm going. In spite of what I feel, I want to feel the will and the promise and the hope of Jesus Christ. And if he goes to Jerusalem, I'll go to Jerusalem. And if he dies, I'll die. Why? Because my culture is changing. My ideology is changing. And I may not feel like going to school the first day. I may not feel like being bold. I may not feel like being daring. I may not feel like sharing my testimony. Because my GPA is more important, my athletic career is more important, my reputation is more important. And Jesus wants to know, hey, I just want to know, priority number one, are you willing to take me into your culture? Amen. We can't see people change because we're not willing to see our culture changed. We're not willing, Bethany, to shake the culture that we live in now with the gospel and the hope and the means and the methods to reach them for Jesus Christ. And Thomas is saying, wherever Jesus shows up, I'll show up. There won't always be easy days. There'll be some challenges in life that blow our mind and blow us out of the water. But you set the atmosphere for resurrection when you go regardless of what you want. That is your greatest ministry in this church. I may die with him, but I'm going to go with him. It's not after the resurrection that Thomas says this. And we know he'll have struggles. It's not after the guarantee, faith. It's not after the glory comes, Kelly. But I put what I want to the side. And I'm all in, all the time, regardless. Real disciples. Turn to your neighbor and tell them real disciples have to die sometimes. Real disciples die to some things in life. I can't keep preaching where we are today. Philip can't keep preaching what he's preaching today. and us not die to some things that must change. Thomas was now associating the city of Jerusalem with death. It is a threat on his life. Thomas gets it. He's going, I'm going. He dies, I die. Whatever the cost, whatever the price, I'm going. I'll be where he is. I'm going to say some things you need to hear. I don't even know what time this is. Sarah, if I cannot get to the culture, the moment, the place where Jesus is in at that moment, I'll miss it when the glory comes. If Thomas had just hung back and Jesus is in Bethany raising Lazarus from the dead, then Thomas misses the moment of glory that God has ordered for that moment, that place, and that time. For us, it will be to continue the glory here. For Brian and Tanya and Amaya, it will be in another location, but we're still under the same God, serving the same Lord, doing the same thing for the same promise of glory. If I can get hold of myself, I can prepare for the culture that I'm about to walk into. I will always hear about the glory, but I never, if I don't get myself ready, if I don't prepare myself for today, then I'll always hear about the glory, but I'll never see the glory for myself. I want to tell you something. You may not like this, but glory was never intended to be looked back upon. Because if you just keep looking back on glory that's 30 years old, all you'll see is a glory that was and not a glory that is. And you'll be like Thomas, you're filled with doubt and you're always, but Thomas is, even doubt, even Thomas is starting to get it. And we criticize Thomas and downplay Thomas, and we've got all kinds of Thomases in the church. The church world. I'm not talking about anybody here. And we can't see glory for today because we're so attached to the glory of the past.
Right, right. Come on.
It's not meant to be looked back upon. If it's really glory, it's glory now. Glory is here and glory is coming. Glory doesn't happen because Brian chooses your kind of song to sing. Glory happens because you have made up your mind before you ever got here that I will lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I will call on the name that is above every name. I will declare him in the streets. I will declare him in the aisle. I will declare him among my friends and my work associates that he is Jesus. He is Lord. He is King. And he is worthy to be praised. Lift up your hands, lift up your hands, lift up your hands and praise. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. I will put myself into a place to be there when the dead get up. There's not a funeral home I've gone to probably in the last 10 years that I've not tried, may have missed here and there, but that I've not tried to touch the person inside that coffin because I believe the day is and the day is coming when we will see the dead raised back to life because we carry authority and we carry power. Wouldn't you like to see some old dead, I don't mean dead literally, I mean dead saint that sits in the chair every Sunday?
Yes.
Look like they've sucked every sour lemon they can suck. Wouldn't you like to see some, there's somebody on your mind right now. I see you grinning. I see you laughing. Wouldn't you love to see that person that you've never witnessed them move in your life just shout uncontrollably under the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? One of those moments where you walk out of the church and you go to lunch and you're sitting at the table and you say, I've never seen her do that before in my life. I've never seen him do that before in my life. That had to be God. It had to be a move. And that may be why you don't carry glory anymore. You carry a shout and you carry a tradition, but you don't carry glory because your glory is attached to your preference and not your person. Who Jesus really is. But I will worship in spite of what I want. Thomas, by most historians, believe was killed with a spear on July the 3rd, AD 72, for defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. He impacted India for Jesus. Some even believe that he made it into China and shared the hope of the gospel there. What God wants to know is this: will you trust him? Would you put what you want on hold? I love this word. I believe that God taught this about Thomas right here. When it seems like all we see is Lazarus and him being raised from the dead, but we see transformative power. We see Thomas being changed so that, yes, he will have his doubts and he may have his negativity, but ultimately he will touch, he is there and he will touch the side of Jesus Christ. And he will confess, my Lord and my God. Can I get anybody? You'll join this pastor on a Sunday morning. You will lift your hand and confess, my Lord and my God. Would you say it out loud, my Lord? Two quick things, and pray for every student, leader, teacher in the house. There are some things, voices, problems you need to shut down in your life. And there are times in your life when you don't have a voice. There are times, Philip, when I just need to stand before God and be quiet. I need to be still. And I just need to be quiet. Say, God, work on me, because I sure don't know how to work on myself. Well, if it was this, if it was that, well, you need to hear me. No, no, no. Sometimes you need to hush. Amen. Thomas has been doubting. That's his nature. Martha's complaining. That's her nature. If Jesus had listened to her, Lazarus' own sister, there would have been no hope. If God listened to you, listened to that church, that brother, that mother, something would have been shut down in your life a long time ago. I believe if Lazarus could have spoken from the dead, I think he would have said something like this: Martha, I love you, but would you please shut up? Would you just hush? He's trying to work. And he was so, just hush. And we would garner a whole lot more respect. And our word would carry a lot more weight if we learned how to hush as much as we do talk. And I've learned at times with Kelly. I am much more blessed to remain hushed than I am to talk. God said, I'm going to shut some voices down in your life, some things that have been speaking into you. I will no longer let those things be spoken into you. Those things that tried to break your connection with God, that tried to judge you when I didn't even judge you. Martha is his sister. Sometimes the voices are close by. But God said, I'll shut it down. And Jesus wept. He's broken. The enemy tried to use his own sorrow as a human being against Jesus. But he wept. He loved Lazarus. Stand with me this morning. You know the word well. You've probably heard it preached many times that when he called Lazarus forth, he comes forth and he still has the grave clothes on. His head is still covered. His mouth, his nose, his hands, his feet are bound. But yet he comes forth. And I think someone in the house today, let me speak into your life. Let God speak into your soul, the depths of your soul. You've stopped believing that those moments can happen. You've stopped believing that. I mean, it wasn't magic. It was the voice and the authority of the Son of the living God. He said, Lazarus, come forth. That God's forgotten your name, but he will call you by name today right where you are. Bobby, he'll pull you in. Roger, he'll pull you in. Whitney, he'll call you by name. But listen, if you let your feet stay bound, you'll have no direction. If you let your feet stay bound, you'll stay right where you are. You'll keep living in yesterday. When your hands are bound too long, you will lose your capacity to feel. I've got that part of my life. When your face is covered, you can't possibly see where you're going. You are alive, but you're still carrying things that you don't have to carry. So I want to challenge you this morning. Move into your culture. Understand that God will help you help your culture. Something I've realized that this story, Anya, has never been about Lazarus. It's always been about Jesus. And he's working in Lazarus, and he's working in Martha, and he's working in Mary, and he's working in even Thomas. All of a sudden, right in the middle of it is doubting Thomas. I began with a sad story that 24 children died in 15 minutes. Let me tell you a very positive story, real quickly, and we'll pray. When we pastored in Virginia Beach, a ministry was started there that we called Love Feast. It came out of our church. It was on the heart of a gentleman in our church, just a businessman in our church. He wasn't a super wealthy businessman, he was solid. And we started gathering. The first year, we went into a little community that was kind of run down, and we had a little pony that walked in circles under a tent. And we handed out goodie bags, and we just ministered to the community. That's how we started. But doors began to open. And there's a place there called Mount Trashmore. It's on the main highway right to the beach. And years ago, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, but years ago, it was a dump heap. And it was the vision of some people to take that and turn it around. And they covered it and manicured it and landscaped it. And it's a beautiful place. The door opened for us to move Love Feast to Mount Trashmore. And I mean, by now, they're coming by the hundreds, by the thousands. We're painting faces. We've got kids' ministry, a kids' tent. We've got a youth tent. We've got, and the 700 Club heard about what we were doing. And so they bring their 18-wheeler out, and they park it. And so on one side, we're giving away food. On the other side, there's a stage, and choirs and men and women, youth choirs are singing all day long. And people are coming. They're lined up over the hillside, and they're just coming. And we're handing out this. And I'm telling you, I know I saw it. I was there. I had two big old guys, man. They were good friends of mine, Richard and Tim. I had them count the bags. And The line stretched as far as 100 still. And we knew we only had X amount of bags. And we started trying to come up with a strategy. Do we go to the store? We don't have time. Do we do this? I'm telling you, there wasn't a person in that line over the hill that didn't come through that service area that did not receive a bag of groceries and food to take home. God provided one after the other. It just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening. You can make an impact on your culture, if you will. God requires it of you. Your greatest call is not the impact on your life other than salvation. It's to impact and help someone else. I want every student in the house, if you will, to come and just stretch out across this altar area, if you will. Just come and stand this morning, every student. Every teacher, every student, every teacher, child. Come on, stretch on across, guys. Move on this way, if you will. There you go. Lead. There you go. Good job. Is this not a beautiful sight? Would you give them a hand this morning? Every teacher, every principal. I know we have at least 3 or 4 principals in our church. I think I've heard the last 2 years, 30-something teachers. I'm going to ask Pastor Philip to join me on stage here. Students, I want to challenge you this year. Take him into your culture. Teachers, every teacher, lift your hand. We appreciate all that you do. We appreciate the investment every year in and year out. Teachers, be a voice. Don't be afraid to transform your culture. Don't be afraid to let God do a transformative work in your life like Thomas and say, listen, I'll take him, whatever the price. Because your students and your fellow students, they are hungry for something. Someone there, they've not had the love of a father, and they need the love of someone in their life that will just encourage them. They may not say it out loud, but they need the love that you can give. Friendship, approval, encouragement.